The following is an unrehearsed interview for the Kentucky Oral History Project. The interview is being conducted by Darlene Young on June 29, 1980. The interviewee is Mrs. Edith Dobbins. The interview is taking place in Mrs. Dobbins' home in the community of Louisa, County of Lawrence. Mrs. Dobbins is the daughter of Peter V. Alley and Martha Victoria Polly Alley. Mrs. Dobbins, when you were a child, tell me something about the times that you remember. How did you and your family live? Were the times better or worse?
Well, to me, they were, at that time, they were better.
How were they better?
Well, we didn't know about the world at large, and we were more contented. And, you know, in our own little world. And we lived in Pike County until I was 5 years old. My father ran a general store, and a sawmill, and we children played, climbed the hills, hunted sarmises and buckberries and so on, and we looked after the cattle, and we had an old cow named Strawberry, and we'd go hunt the cows and we'd ride her. And then when I was 5 years old, my father came to Louisa, and he came here and bought this place so the children could go to school. He'd heard of Professor Bain from school, and he wanted his children to have an education. So mother and the children came here, and we kept some boarders. To school while Daddy stayed in Pike County and looked after things up there. And my first teacher was a Mrs. Sullivan. I was 6 years old in November, but I started the school in September then. I forgot now when the schools began. But it was cold. We enjoyed it at first when we came to Louisa, though. We hadn't been used to gas, and the gas made us sick. And we finally got over that, though, and we went on our way going to school. And then in the spring, about May, when school was out, we would go back to Pike County, ride the train on the West Virginia side, and go back and stay with our father through the summer.
Where did you live in Louisa?
We lived on the Railroad Street, it was called that then. Now it's Jefferson Street, 390 South Jefferson. And there were no streets paved in Louisa at that time. They were all dirt streets. And we got from Fort Gay, we'd go there to catch the train, we would have to walk. But our luggage, we would call a man that was called a drayman. And he had a horse and a wagon, and he would haul our luggage to Fort Gay. We had to carry it across the railroad. We never did have a street on this side of the railroad. I don't yet. And we would go to Pike County and stay through the summer.
When you went to school to Professor Byington and Mrs. Sullivan, where was the school located?
Well, the elementary school was located up to the hill.
At the old building?
The building, and it just had about four or five rooms then. Maybe four down, and I believe I'm not sure, but I believe that's what it was. And Miss Sullivan was my first teacher. And Miss Byington was my youngest sister's teacher. And she went to the first grade. And I believe McClure, Professor McClure, was principal up there then. When we grew older, I went down to Professor Mangan's school. And some of my sisters and brothers, and the older ones, had dropped out of school. And there were two or three of us still going. Laura Apple and I were still going to Professor Mangan.
And it was located on Powhatan. Could you remember any of the names of your students that were in class with you that would be native Louisians or people who had lived here?
Flora Wellman.
Flora Wellman.
Now this was when I was about the fourth grade. I can't remember the others. Ellen Lackey, Alva Snyder, Jesse Salmons, then when I got up in the fifth grade, I had
Do you remember anything in particular that happened while you were in school? Was there anything that was real exciting or a catastrophe of any type, or
some of the boys up at the lower grade elementary, they made a sleigh, a toboggan sort of sleigh, and it was against the rules. And they would go to the top of the hill and come off and go almost to the bridge on that. And of course, the teacher didn't like that. Now the principal teacher didn't like that, and I think he punished them for it. But they really enjoyed it. That was their pastime in those days. They had a show here later on called Nickelodeon, and I think it cost about 10 cents to get in a movie. You know. I didn't go to that until I was a pretty big girl.
Did you ever stop to think about when this was the school that you attended as a child, and then later on in adult life you actually taught in the same building, didn't you?
Yes, I did.
And what were your feelings? Was it something that you really enjoyed, or did it seem odd to you that you were teaching in the same building, or what were your feelings?
Well, I didn't. I don't remember what my feelings were, but I did teach in one room that, I'll tell you another one, Nora Wilson and Laura Stanville. They were members of the class in the third grade, I believe it was. I remember Mrs. Maud Smith was our teacher in the third grade, and she, Laura rubbed her head on the seat when they made a noise, and Miss Smith smacked her hands. I believe it was Miss Smith. And that's one thing I remember. I know my brother was a little bit mischievous, and he would do pranks, you know, and he would skip school. And if the teacher asked me about him, he was in the same grade. He had appendicitis too. And he was a little bit retarded. And if the teacher asked about him, I thought that was awful. And I'd cry because I thought she was so off on him, you know. And I didn't want that. But, you know, Miss Smith just died a year or two ago. Remember her?
I'm not real sure.
She married a Carey. She lived down Lock Avenue. About third house from the lower end, but this way.
I may know her, but right now I can't place her. What do you remember about your school days? Did you have spelling bees? And did you, were you using a lot of paper and pencil, or did you use the slates, or what did you use?
used slates, and we used a penny pencil, and Father would put a ring around the top and put a string to it, tied around our necks, so we wouldn't lose it, because we didn't get very many, and we had to hold on to what we did have. School, some in Pike County when we would be up there, because schools began before in the country, before this town school began. And I remember one girl, Eula Farley. I had chewing gum one day, and I chewed it a long time, and she wanted to borrow my gum. She offered to give me something, I forgot now what it was, but I let her chew it a while. And, you know, little things like that. And I tell you another, out here at the Louise Elementary School, I also sat with Vicie Moore, and she and I, our seats were double, you see, and one end was against the wall. And neither one of us wanted to sit next to the wall. And we would, when the first one got there, would sit on the end. The other one would try to push in. So little things like that, you know.
Did you use the McGuffey readers?
We used the revised, not the old. I have two or three of them here now of the revised, but I didn't have the old, the first two.
What type of games did you play at recess? Did you jump rope?
And we jumped rope. We played the ring around the rosy. And the one that Jesse Stewart, what was that one? Go in and out the windows. I think he mentioned that one in his first book.
Did the boys play horseshoes?
Some of them did.
Did you, when you were in class, did you have a lot of exercises that had to do with patriotism? Did you, like, always pledge allegiance to the flag? And
not always.
Not always.
We didn't in the beginning, but in the later years we did, but I don't remember.
Did you do any singing in school?
Oh, yes, we did a lot of singing. All kinds of songs. And I remember one time I was small, and the older children got up a program in school. It was in the autumn, about September maybe. And I had the book here, it's called the Elocution Book, and they gave everybody a poem out of that book. And of course, I had about four lines. I was small, and I didn't say much. And I said, "Gentle Jesus, meek and mild, pity my simplicity. Look upon, gentle Jesus, meek and mild, look upon this little child and pity my simplicity." That's all I can remember of it. But my sister remembered it. Every one of those, and to this day, Ethel can recite half of them yet. She remembered those.
So in school, you had to do a lot of memorization of poems and things like that?
Always, and all the stories and the poems had a moral to them. And we had, in Pike County, we had a traveling library. We would keep a set of books so long, you know, and read them. And then they go to another school, and they could read them. Now, that was in a rural school in Pike County at that time.
Were you in a large class at Louisa, or was it small?
It was average.
Average.
It wasn't large, and it wasn't small. It wasn't like the size when I taught up here. When I taught up here, we had, I think, the largest number I had was 56. I believe.
An awful lot of students.
Too many. And my daughter went to Mary Thompson, and she had, I think, 70 sons. They didn't hardly have room to go up and down now, there'd been a fire. It'd have been terrible in the old building before they built the new one.
What did you do for lunch? Did you pack your own lunch and take it with you, or did you come home? Or
well, when we were here, we came home for lunch. But when we lived in Pakistan, we took our lunch because it was about a mile and a half. And on the way backward and forward, we would swipe apples and pawpaws by the roadside in Pakistan. Hosey Alley, my father's brother, had a blue stem. They called it a blue stem apple. And we just loved those apples. And we'd reach through the fence and kind of get us one. And we'd gather nuts, beech nuts, mostly chestnuts. That was our pastime in Pakistan. And when we were up there, we would gather chestnuts in the fall. And then we would go hiking in the woods, and we would, I remember one time, we girls thought we'd go possum hunting. And we had a dog called Major, and we went away up the hollow with our lantern, and we sat on a big rock for Major to go tree us a possum, and he did. And we went to him, and we were scared, afraid it was wildcat. They had wildcats up there then. And but finally, someone went back to the house and got my brother, and he came and got the possum out of the tree for us. And then when the men would go saw logging, my sister and I remember one time, would take their lunch to them. Mother would cook it, you know, and put them in a large basket or something and take it to them. One time, I was carrying the coffee in a different bucket, you see. And I was smaller than my sister. And the way they did, they cut those trees and they snaked them out of the hills. Just got them started, you know, and they went. And we heard one coming, and it made us, frightened us. And I stumbled and fell and spilled the coffee. I got frightened, you see, thought it was coming our way, but it didn't. And then we would go up on the mountain, and we would look down through the cracks where the mines had pulled the pillars, and we'd throw rocks down those big holes. They wouldn't be more than 2 or 3 feet wide. And some of them, we could throw a rock, and we couldn't even hear it hit. Those were some of the pastimes. And I remember coming from church one Sunday, and I had a new pair of shoes. They would hurt my feet. And we stopped at grandmother's to eat dinner. And we children were down in the creek playing, and I waded the creek to keep my feet from hurting. Those shoes. Finally, I think I took them off. Now, is there anything else?
Well, when you were growing up, how did your mother doctor you? Did she use herbs, or did she take you to a doctor? Or
usually, she doctored us. My sister got burned one time, Laura, and she was burned badly. And mother and daddy put her, stood to her, and I remember seeing her. We were real small, and we had our open fireplace, and mother had just made us some new outing slips, and we had on new dresses, too, and she had her back to the fire, and my little brother threw paper on the fire, and it rolled off and caught her dress afire. And she said she yelled for me to put it out or for water on her, but I couldn't remember a thing to do it. And she ran out the door, and mother met her down halfway down the hill to the barn. And she grabbed her apron and wrapped around her and tried to smother the flames out. She burned her arms and her face and her hair and eyebrows. And Daddy was coming up the bank leading a horse. course, he ran faster away from Mother, and he jumped over a rock wall and put her in the creek and put her in. But she slept on her stomach for 3 months. She couldn't sleep on her back. And I remember Daddy and Mother standing her in a dishpan with sorghum, molasses, and soda. That's what they doctored her with first. Of course, later they took her to a doctor. And it was terrible, and she was just almost lost her. And then Mother and Daddy had acetabin. Can you spell that?
I'm not sure I can. I'll have to look that up.
A-S-A-F-O-E-T-I-B-A, I believe. That's as near as I can come to it. I may be wrong. Then they used yellow root for colds. We had a sore throat. Daddy would dig some yellow root and make us chew it. And then Mother made a poultice out of she called it a bamba tree. But I don't know whether it was a really bamba tree or whether it was a bomb of gilead. It had a sticky substance on the bloom. And she would take that and mix it with something. I don't know what she mixed it with. And we'd put it on our, if we got a solar or anything, she'd mix that. Put it on there, but the acidity was supposed to be worn around our necks on a string to ward off diseases, keep us from catching a disease sometimes.
I've heard so many people say that when they were young, they would drink teas in the spring as a tonic. Did you do that?
We drank sassafras tea, and my mother would make poultices out of we called it slippery elm.
I've heard of that.
The roots of an elm tree. She would dig and scrape a certain part of that elm. It was real slimy. And she would make pulses out of that. And catnip. She would make catnip, sage tea, and sassafras tea. And, all the herbs. I can't remember all of them now.
At the time, did you really believe in them? Did you think that they were going to do you good, or was it just something that you felt you had to do because your mother told you to?
Well, I felt like it would help because Mother did it. It was the custom of doing it. And I felt like it would help, and it did. And I'll tell you one thing that my sister did. My dad and mother were gone to Winston that day, and we were playing. We had what you call a wood yarn where we chopped wood, and they did for the cook stove. And there was an axe there, and we were playing, and my sister was walking this log that had the axe near it, and her foot slipped off and cut her big toe half in two. And we didn't know what to do, we children. So they went up the creek to my Uncle George Alice, and he chewed the buck. And he came down there, and he chewed him a chew of tobacco and put it on her toe and tied it up. Now, it was sore. It was a bad place, but he got bad. And people also, one reason they chewed tobacco on us, they had toothache. And somebody would tell them that if they hold a piece of tobacco on there, it would ease the toothache. And it did. That's one reason a lot of the women chewed tobacco, for that reason.
I've heard some people say that the teas tasted so terrible that they really didn't want to do it, but they did it because their parents told them to. I thought maybe you remembered their bad taste or anything like that.
Well, I may have, but I don't remember.
Did you have to drink a lot of cod liver oil? Anything like that?
No. And my father and mother, as far as I knew, didn't know anything about cod liver oil.
Can you think of anything that you remember doing as a child that you disliked doing? Didn't like to thin corn. Did you all have a big garden and that was one of the jobs of the children to help with the garden?
We had a big garden in Packing. Now these things were in Packing. And Mother raised a huge garden. And about a mile and a half below town was what was called Borderland Camps, where the miners lived that worked in the mines. And Mother, a certain day every week, she would gather her onions and she would clean them and put so many in a bundle and she'd tie them in bundles. And she'd pick lettuce and mustard and beans and corn, anything she had growing in the garden. And they would, then she had an old horse called Maud. And she rode a side saddle, and she would get all these products in her big market basket, which was that deep and that long, and she would carry that on her lap. And she even had jugs like that one over there that would hold a gallon. And she would even take buttermilk and butter and sell them to the camps. And that's one way they had to make and when hog killing time, and that old horse that she rode knew exactly which house to stop. She didn't have to guide her. That horse went right to the steps, and she'd stop. She knew which house that Mother sold things to, and she would stop right there. Now, I never knew anything about electricity, but they had, excuse me, they had electricity in the camps. And it was strange to me because we never had electricity up there. And we didn't have it when we lived on a farm down here either. And but anyway, and then in the fall, when our father would kill a hog or a bee or something, we would sell things to the camp. And they would eat. Some of them are called, they call them hogs, but they must have been Hungarians that worked in the mines, you know. And they would eat parts of the...
Just a minute, I have to change the tape.